Hired me to defend him against a domestic violence protection order.
You gave him $3,000 as a retainer.
His lawyer was on the clock.
How many hours did Mr. Belmer spend with you?
1 hour.
But did he really put in the time?
How many hours did you spend on Mr. Price's case?
More than $3,000 worth.
Show me.
I don't have a bill with me, Your Honor.
Why not?
Judge Judy. You are up, Judge Judith Scheinlein. The people are real. The cases are real. The rulings are final. This is Judge Judy.
Joseph Price is suing his former attorney, Matthew Belmer, for the return of his retainer fee. Joseph claims he did not receive the representation he paid for.
Order. All rise.
This case number 145 on the calendar in the matter of Price versus Belmer.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Judge Price. You've been sworn in. You may be seated.
Mr. Price, you were in need of an attorney. It was a matrimonial proceeding. You retained Mr. Belmer according to your complaint. You gave him $3,000 as a retainer. This lawsuit is requesting the return of that retainer because he didn't finish the job. I'm not sure about what your situation was, Mr. Belmer, but I assume we're going to find out. Where are you admitted to practice, sir?
State of Washington.
In what year were you admitted?
1990.
Have you been continuously admitted in the state of Washington since 1990?
Yes, I have.
With no suspensions?
Correct.
When were you retained by Mr. Price?
April 4th, 2012.
And at the time that you were retained by Mr. Price, did you have him sign a retainer agreement?
I did, Your Honor.
I'd like to take a look at it.
Okay.
Other than the $3,000, Mr. Belmer, did you send any other bill to Mr. Price?
I did not.
And Mr. Price, you did in fact sign this retainer agreement.
I signed it, Your Honor, and I never received a copy of it.
Fine. So you understood that by giving Mr. Belmer the $3,000, one half of that $3,000 was non-refundable. The rest of the retainer would be applied at the rate of $243.75 an hour for the time he worked. You understood that?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. Well, so the first thing is you are suing him for $3,000.
Yes, Your Honor.
Well, pursuant to this retainer agreement, and you're giving him the retainer agreement, even if you didn't like the way he combed his hair the next day, you weren't getting $1,500 back. You do understand that?
Yes.
Fine. Just as long as we understand each other, we're going to make this as simple as possible. So, at best, you would be entitled to whatever unused portion of the $1,500 is. Got it?
Yes.
Reasonable?
Yes, Your Honor.
Great. I would assume, after reading your complaint, that you each have different accounts of what caused you to seek another attorney and what caused Mr. Belmer to withdraw as counsel for you. But how many hours did Mr. Belmer spend with you that you can account for?
1 hour.
When was that?
I have a letter here that said we met on March 30th, 2012, thanking me, saying that he retained me for represent for the above reference matters, initial retainer, $3,000 for both matters together. And on March 30th, he received a check for $1,500.
No, I'm asking, yeah. Do you know what I'm asking you? Mr. Price, I'm asking you, how many hours did you at any time go to court with him?
We had one appearance.
And when did you arrive in court for that one appearance and on what date?
April 12th, 2012.
What time did you arrive in court?
2 o'clock in the afternoon, ma'am.
2 p.m. And how long were you there?
1 hour, Your Honor.
And did you have any telephone communications with him or any office visit with him to prepare for the April 12th court appearance?
Your Honor, we met in a coffee shop.
Coffee shop is a meeting?
Yes.
When did you meet?
In between March 30th and April 12th, we met for 1 hour in a coffee shop.
So that's another hour?
Yes.
And let's say, according to you, the court appearance lasted for 1 hour?
Yes.
Your initial consultation with him was when?
March 30th, 2012.
And how long did that last?
About half an hour, Your Honor.
So we're up to 2.5 hours?
Yes, Your Honor.
And is that the sum total of your contact with Mr. Belmer?
That's about the most of contact I've had with Mr. Belmer.
You met him office conference
with
him.
Yes, Your Honor.
Then you retained him. met him in a coffee shop for an hour to prepare for the court appearance, and then the court appearance was 1 hour.
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay, that's 2.5 hours. Now, Mr. Bellmer?
Yes.
Let's start with certain facts that are given. You did not represent Mr. Price to the conclusion of this case.
That's correct.
You asked to be relieved. Is that correct?
Yes, if I may clarify, Your Honor. He hired me to defend him against a domestic violence protection order. I concluded that portion of his representation. He also hired me
just
to
do... Just a second. When did you conclude that?
April 12th of 2012.
Was that the one court appearance that you went to court with him?
The one that he said yes.
Yes. And was that matter concluded?
Yes, it was.
What was the conclusion of that matter?
I spoke to the other attorney, and the other attorney agreed to protection, the domestic violence protection order against Mr. Price, and that he, the other attorney, would send me documentation, place restraints, typical restraints in a dissolution, and that we would sign an agreed orders, but he never did it.
The other attorney?
Yes. So I was able to get the petition dismissed.
Petition was dismissed.
Yes.
So there was a satisfactory resolution to the domestic violence case.
Yes, Your Honor.
That was based on their conference.
Yes.
Well, that was worth something. So far we have 2.5 hours worth of work.
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. So that's about $610 from $1,500 that you agreed to, that he spent with you.
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. How many hours did you spend on Mr. Price's case?
More than $1,500 worth, Your Honor. In fact, more than $3,000 worth.
Show me.
I don't have it. I don't have a bill with me, Your Honor.
Why not?
If I may explain. On April 17th of 2013, I was preparing to go to the mandatory settlement conference in Pierce County, Washington. Mr. Price called me on April 17th, left a message. The message was, "I am no longer in need of your services, and I never want to hear from you again." In spite of the fact that he called and left that
Just
message.
Just a second. Did you, in fact, send that message?
Yes, Your Honor,
I did. On April 17th?
On April 17th, yes, Your Honor.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. In spite of the fact that he did that, on the 18th, I prepared to go to the settlement conference because I did not hear from him other than that phone call.
Well, that's a pretty serious phone call.
Yes. And also on the 18th, I made 3 phone calls. One of the phone calls, well, actually, I listened to my voicemail. That's when I got the message from Mr. Price. And also on the 18th, I called Mr. Price at the phone number he used to have, and it reflects on here, Bremerton, Washington, because he lives near Bremerton, Washington. I also called, and I informed him, if I don't hear from you within the next hour, I'm not going to go to the settlement conference.
He already discharged you on the 17th, sir.
He did. I was trying to give Mr. Price another opportunity.
That's your problem. Mr. Price discharged you effective the 17th.
Yes, I understand.
So I want you to tell me, you know, lawyers who are charging by the hour.
Right.
Mr. Bellmer. And you are charging by the hour because you didn't have to have an hourly rate. You could have had a fixed rate. You could have said, listen, I'm going to charge you $1,500 to do your domestic violence case. And then I'm going to charge you $5,000 to do your matrimonial case. That's my flat fee. You chose to do it by the hour. Well, then you have to justify your hours. How could you come to court today without justifying your hours?
Your Honor, when Mr. Price and I signed the fee agreement, one of the things that Mr. Price was concerned about was the fact that it would be more than $3,000. So I agreed with him that it would be no more than $3,000, and I wouldn't have charged him any more than $3,000.
Listen to me, sir. You're a lawyer in the state of Washington, and I'm certain the state of Washington has the same laws as most of the other states in this country, and that is when you have a written contract, anything that you say is within the four corners of this agreement. If Mr. Price said, well, we had an agreement for $243 an hour, but after we signed this agreement, he said, I'm only going to charge you $100 an hour, you would laugh in his face, and you would say to me, Judge, you know, he can't say that. We have a written contract for $243. So what you as a lawyer are trying to say to me, that you orally changed the terms of this written agreement by saying I'm not going to charge you more than $3,000 when this contract says nothing about that?
No, I did not change the terms of the agreement, Your Honor.
Well, then show me where it says that the maximum fee will be $3,000.
It doesn't say that.
Of course it doesn't say that.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
You can show me a ledger. That's what a lawyer does. A lawyer who's charging by the hour keeps a record. If the answer is no, then it's a very easy case for me.
Your Honor.
It's the most ridiculous thing I ever heard.
And later today.
Say I believe him. that he got into the intersection and he made a turn at 1 or 2 miles an hour.
I was at a dead stop sitting there.
Impossible by virtue of the impact on the car.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Joseph Price says his former attorney, Matthew Bellmer, owes for the return of his retainer fee.
Okay, so far you've accounted for $610, sir, of the $3,000 fee. Can you account for any more by showing me a ledger, a log? Anything prior to the 17th of April? If the answer is no, then it's a very easy case for me.
Your Honor, if I may.
You can show me a ledger. That's what a lawyer does. A lawyer who's charging by the hour keeps a record. April 2nd, 1.5 hours, phone and writing up complaint. April 12th, court with client. April 5th, coffee shop. Prepare the client for deposition. 1 hour. That's what a lawyer does who's charging by the hour. It's the most ridiculous thing I ever heard.
Your Honor, if I may make a statement. At the time Mr. Price discharged me, his statement, as I indicated earlier, is I never want to hear from you again. I have on my computer a bill in draft form for Mr. Price. I didn't bring the bill today because Mr. Price didn't ever want to hear from me again, and frankly—
$2,400, judgment for the plaintiff, that's all. Step out.
I desire excuse, you may step out.
Mr. Price didn't want to have anything to do with me.
In 5 months, this new attorney got everything done and very liberal agreement.
And the final divorce decree shows that he did not get custody of his daughter.
I now have a partial custody of my daughter, and I see her on a regular basis.
Justice isn't always fair.
Find an attorney that believes in your rights.
And now, the next case.
All parties in the matter of Sharp versus Goranson. Step forward.
Wade Sharp III is suing 21-year-old Michael Goranson for a car accident between Michael and his 17-year-old son, Wade IV.
Mr. Sharp, were you driving that day?
I was not.
Who was?
My son.
Good. You can sit down. He's standing up.
Okay.
Each of you two gentlemen claim that the other is responsible for almost very serious traffic accident. You were both driving?
Correct, Your Honor.
This incident happened when? What date?
It was August 29th, 2013.
Who else was in the car with you?
Two of my friends.
Were they all okay?
Yes.
You want to tell me your version of the accident? You want to go over there and tell me?
Yes.
So there's a traffic light at the intersection.
Yes. I was driving south on Belmont Avenue right here. I was going straight, and we were going to a football game with me and my friends. And I got to the intersection, I had the right of way, it was green, and I was driving through. I was basically right there through the middle, and I got hit. He hit me, I went airborne, the airbags deployed. I went airborne into the cemetery, over a fence and everything, and hit a tombstone, and that is where I stopped.
Okay, so you were going straight?
Yes.
And Mr. Goranson was making a left turn?
Left turn.
Correct.
Okay. And Mr. Goranson hit your car?
Yes, and made me go
on the front driver's side of the car?
Yes.
Okay, go. Do you have a police report?
Yes.
I'd like to take a look at it.
Just give her the whole thing. Just give her all of it.
Before I take a look at this, you want to go over there and tell me your version of the events?
All right, I was going down Belmont Avenue North.
You were coming, you're the blue car, and you were making a left turn.
Correct. I was in the turning lane, and I was going to make a left turn. When I approached the intersection, the light was still green. So I went and pulled out into the intersection, and while I was sitting there, there was still traffic, so I was unable to turn. While I was sitting there, the light turned yellow on me. So there was still traffic coming through, I was still unable to turn. Once the light turned red on me, I eased off the clutch to turn onto 304 Churchill West. And he hit my front driver's side, went into the cemetery.
And he hit your front driver's side? That's impossible. Where did your car end up, sir?
My car?
Show me. I see where the collision was.
Yeah,
where
right
did your car end up?
Right here. I was only going 1-2 miles an hour. I was
impossible. Impossible.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
This is your car?
Correct.
That's some accident for going 1 or 2 miles an hour.
Which is why I believe he was speeding.
No, he's not speeding. You're speeding.
Real
cases, real people, Judge Judy.
Wade Sharp IV says fellow motorist Michael Goranson made a negligent left turn, causing an accident. Michael claims the incident was Wade's fault, and he is countersuing for his damages.
Okay, you weren't going 1 or 2 miles an hour if his car ended up in a cemetery.
I was at a dead stop. And then I went to turn because the light turned red. And as I went to turn, he collided with me running the red light.
Now you can stand up next to him. You see, the problem exists because unless I'm missing something, there is a video that would tell me whether or not this young man was turning the way he indicated and your son ran a red light, or whether your son had the right of way. That video was available because there's a bank there someplace?
It was unusable for the police. They didn't even use it for the police report.
Well, I see that they didn't get it.
From that camera, the traffic light was not visible, so our statements would not be able to be held up from the video.
See, can I?
Yes.
At the scene, during the whole process, the State Highway Patrol and Liberty Police, which the local police department, sent us home. They had enough. Leave everything. You couldn't be at fault. That's why I have the other police email on there that was at the scene. How do you turn left in front of somebody?
Well, I can't take a police officer's email. I can look at an official police report because that's a business record. But a correspondence that somebody had with you, whether they're a police officer or not, that I can't accept.
I was trying to bring him, but he couldn't.
My only problem with you, Mr. Goranson, is clearly, based upon the police report, you hit the plaintiff's car with such force that it was impossible for you to be going 1 or 2 miles an hour. Not possible, based upon the police report, because he had damage not only to his car as a result of his being hit by you, irrespective of whether the light was red or green, but you hit him with such force that he traveled and broke a tombstone, and both airbags were deployed.
Correct.
So I have a problem with that. If you were standing in a stationary spot waiting for cars to turn, you would have been going very, very slowly because now the light turns red, so you were making a left turn on a red light.
Which I was in the intersection at the time.
You were making a left turn on a red light.
Correct.
Where you shouldn't have been. What you're supposed to do is you're supposed to stay back. Unless it's clear for you to clear making a left turn, you're not supposed to be in the middle of an intersection. Mm-hmm. Because if what you're telling me is true, then the cars that are coming from the opposite directions, they now have a green light, and you're still in the middle of the intersection.
Which is why I need to turn now.
No, you shouldn't have been there. You shouldn't have been there. What? You can stand up when you talk to me.
Okay, sorry.
Do you understand what I'm saying? He shouldn't have been there. You have to maintain safety when you drive. Right. Now, but say I believe him that he got into the intersection, turned yellow, there were still cars going on, so now he waited until it was green and he made a turn at 1 or 2 miles an hour.
I was at a dead stop sitting there.
Impossible by virtue of the impact on the car.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. Closed captioning sponsored by. Are you the victim of a scam? Go to judgejudy.com. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Now, do you have photographs of your car?
Yes.
I have photographs too.
I'd like to see photographs of the car. No, I want to see photographs of the car first that was hit.
Okay.
Okay. Can I see photographs of your car?
Yes, this is my vehicle.
This is your car?
Correct.
That's some accident for going 1 or 2 miles an hour.
Which is why I believe he was speeding.
No, he's not speeding. You're speeding.
He wasn't moving.
How did he hit him?
Because he had just...
My goodness. Can you give me the price on a 1999 Nissan Maxima, please, Bird?
GXE, SE, GLE.
What is
GLE,
it?
$2,000.
Judgment for the plaintiff in the amount of $2,000. That's all.
Why is that excuse when they step out?
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And on the next Judge Judy.
The dog bit my arm.
The two bites required stitches.
Then this dad adds insult to injury.
They took your dog away and you want them to pay you $1,500 for the value of the dog.
Judge Judy.
In the end, neither of us were cited, but my insurance company left me with a statement stating that he was at fault.
He was clearly at fault. He hit my car and made me go into a cemetery.
Their insurance company stated that I was at fault.
It's something that happened. Everybody's okay, but you can't make a left-hand turn. You gotta make sure you got it clear.
Always watch for cars.
Oh, I'm very thankful, because it could have been very bad.